Dr. Brastax, in response to the caller who raised the question about the road repairs and why is it that government is concentrating on relatively good roads, somebody has said here that the road works procurement program started under the last administration and the Lime Ministry is just following through on the project. In fact, it was at risk of being cancelled because the procurement stage was taking too long. But that's an unofficial comment. That question is valid for the Ministry of Transport and Works. And they are the ones who need to explain to the members of the public exactly why they have embarked on this particular project now, when in the eyes of so many others, there are bad roads around Barbados that are more in need of the fix that is taking place here. This is not something to be answered by me. It is not to be answered by the average Joe. The ministry must answer the question to make sure that it ain't fake news. All right? Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
I heard a gentleman from Eden Lodge talking about the open well.
Yes.
But I would have spoken to you, I think it was April 19th or somewhere around there, about a well in Friendship Terrace. I also spoke to Mr. Johnson about the same well about 2 years ago. And I spoke to you, I think was somewhere in 2012, about the same well. You understand? And it's just becoming worse and worse by the day. My daughter was born on the 17th of September 2012. 3 days before that day came, they put up a caution tape, clean around the well, and they said they were going to come back and, you know, do the necessary repairs. Up to a day like today, Mr. Ellis, it's the same place. I did everything possible that I could have done, to the point where I spoke to someone during the election time, and I told him, you know, the next time you come in at my place, make sure you come in with a technician from across the road in Eden Lodge to come and fix this well. But you know, nothing is happening.
It's quite frustrating.
Mr. Ellis, when I see this well bad, it's real, real bad. They were attempting to remove the slab from the top of the well to start work. The slab fall in the well. And it's a piece of galvanized that's covering that right now. 2 weeks ago when they had the rain, well, I wasn't here, but my wife had to move out for the weekend because of the stench in the house.
And you say they, meaning people from MTW?
Yeah. Mr. Ellis, a few years ago, there was some construction in the gap, 2 gaps away from me. And instead of the guys going to dump the foundation wherever, I asked them to throw it around the well, but it couldn't last no long because it keep washing away. So I don't know what's my next move. I asked them, you know, they said it was a problem getting the equipment and so on and so forth. I said, look, I was at the point where I could have rented the equipment from, I think it's called Williams or H&B Hardware, wherever it was. I tell them I could rent it, just get the men to come and work and fix the well because I have children in the house. My daughter is 6 years old now, and from before her birth, they were trying to fix it, and up to now, it can't fix. What do you want me to do, Mr. Ellis? Just pack up and leave. Left Barbados. I can't do that right now.
You shouldn't be leaving Barbados just for a broken well.
I shouldn't. You understand? So it's really frustrating. You know, every time you call somebody putting you on to this person, I actually drove over to Eden Lodge. I walked over to Eden Lodge, you know, and nobody got an answer for you.
Yeah. I hear the frustration.
All right.
I hear the concern. This person says, I don't know about you, but I've seen persons driving along the Bell section of the ABC Highway and swerving to avoid those potholes close to the Bell Junction and almost ending up running into another vehicle in the lane next to them or traveling behind them. And generally, when a vehicle reaches that area of the highway, they've reached their desired speed, which in most cases is in the region of either side of 80 kilometers per hour. That can be a dangerous speed to be making sudden maneuvers at. Now, I think, well, as I said, let the Ministry of Transport and Works deal with this question before we comment any further. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good. It's Bento Calendar here.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling in. I want to talk about business in the sense that, in view of the layoffs, people are being encouraged, among other things, to establish their own businesses. Now, I want to say that, as far as I'm aware, that business and establishing a new business requires a lot of entrepreneurial skill. It requires the person to have access to a reasonable amount of capital. And therefore, if a person who has lost their job and they're holding on for their life to meet their daily expenses, it will be difficult for them to risk what little money they have for business, even if it might be a small business. Those who have studied business and have looked at finance would know that in the first few years of a business, you don't really make money unless you're into a high value added product. So the expectation normally is, and the advice would be given, that you have to have money to invest, and that during those initial years, you're not really going to be making a profit. So you're adding a burden there. So, but what can happen, as has happened in the past with different industries, for example, when we were trying to encourage manufacturing in Barbados, we had given space at lower cost, and we had provided space for companies that were coming in. We had looked at getting investors to come to Barbados and all that. So the point I'm making is that you have to have a heavy support system, which normally is facilitated by the government. And the speaker of giving somebody even a grant of $5,000 to start a business is really making mock sport.
So what is your recommendation, therefore?
I'm going to come for recommendation, David.
Well, you don't have all day, so...
David, do you want me to speak on this matter that's very important to Barbados?
No, I want you to speak within the time frame. I want you to speak within the time frame that I have established. So
what time frame are you giving me?
Well, the point is, you have laid the foundation.
Are you trying to silence me, David?
No, I'm not. And I don't want to fight with you here neither.
Trying to silence so many other people.
I am not here to fight with you.
I'm speaking as a person.
I am not here to fight with you.
Any political clap.
If you come,
offering my
Mr. Calendar. Mr. Calendar, please. I am not here to fight with you. The point is, because of the number of calls and stuff that we have backed up here, I'm trying to cut to the chase as much as possible. You have laid the foundation by outlining the difficulty we face. Let me finish. We can work together if you would take us to the point where, having established that, what recommendations would you have as to alternative approaches?
There's something in business where you call a situational analysis you have to do first.
Well, you don't have enough time to do that here.
I have to lay the groundwork before I can make the recommendation.
Well, how much time you need to lay your analysis? Tell me. How much time?
David, I'm making my point.
How much time do you need? Please tell me.
I can't work out that. I'm near to the...
Well, in those circumstances, Mr. Calendar, please be guided by me as the moderator. Please.
But give me another minute to make my...
Okay, you have another minute.
I'm saying that a business needs finance, and it can be supported meaningfully by government, as has been done in the past, where sugar was assisted, manufacturing was assisted, international business, all of that. So we need to hear about the system being put in place. My recommendation, therefore, would be, instead of talking really nearly about telling somebody that has lost their job, that they should pursue opening a business. It's wrong. We need to speak, first of all, of what systems we are going to put in place, and we need to have adequate funding, substantial funding, so that they can take the risk in the first 2 or 3 years. That's the first thing.
The adequate systems, what so are you talking about?
I'm talking about providing grants. I mean, you have the enterprises there that provide grants. But they must be aware that there are areas where they can get.
But grants are funding.
That you have substantial grants that you can give them.
Grants are funding.
Stations. I didn't get that.
Grants are funding. I thought when you say systems, you said you need systems and then you need funding.
You have to have a system.
What are those systems?
I'll be funding, David. You can give funding and you don't have a system. For example, it may be if you have, let's say, one of the businesses in the orange economy, right? For example, let's say it's a cultural business. We say, well, because you're a startup, you come in, you do a plan, and we can give you, let's say, $20,000. We monitor it and make sure that we get you through the process. And we are enabling you, if you have well finance, to get it off the ground. Meanwhile, the money that you have received from servants and all that, that can provide for your daily living. The funding now will help you with the risk involved.
But isn't there a major problem with respect to getting the funding, given the economic situation?
But whoever it is, in every era there's a dispensation. But if you are encouraging people to start a business, you are running the risk that these people will become totally impoverished, because history and all the accounting systems prove that a business loses money in the first, sometimes it's 2, 3, 4 years. Sometimes it takes 10 years to make a return on their investment.
Okay.
We need to discuss these things in a serious way.
Fair enough. Thank you very much for your contribution. Down to brass tacks. Let me share something with you. You know, the beauty of being here is that I don't have to do all the work myself, because I get people out there who are on WhatsApp who have information at their fingertips and they share it with me. And this person says, go back to an article written 3 years ago, which said that some major roads are to receive a facelift following the recent signing of another loan agreement between government and the Inter-American Development Bank. Minister of Finance Chris Sinclair initialed the $25 million loan in support of major road works over the next 5 years, saying, if one were to listen to the public discourse, indeed, if one traversed the length and breadth of Barbados, one would know that in the last few years or so, we have seen some appreciable deterioration in the quality of our roads. The article went on to say that under the program, approximately 31 kilometers of the road network is to be improved, including segments of the two major highways, the ABC Highway in the south and the Charles Duncan O'Neill Highway in the north. This includes the stretch of road from Greenland, St. Andrew, to Farley Hill, St. Peter, Cattle Wash to Barclays Park, Barclays Park to Belle Plain in St. Andrew. And work will also be carried out in parts of St. Michael, including Cane Wood to Lower Estate Roundabout, Carmichael Road, and Lucas Street to the Country Road Junction. The agreement also provides for institutional strengthening such as rehabilitation and regular maintenance interventions by the Ministry of Transport and Works. Okay, so that backgrounds it, that this agreement, this work, the effort to get it started began under the former Democratic Labour Party administration, and in the context of continuity, is now being executed under a Barbados Labour Party administration. Okay? Thank you very much. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Harris.
Hi, morning.
Right. How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Well, there's always room for improvement, but I'm okay, thanks. There are a myriad of things I want to speak on. I don't like the idea of having to speed talk, but sometimes I've got to do it because of the demand. Now, let me preface quickly by saying, you see that situation there with the road there from Hollister turning up to the Hockey Hall, Niles Roundabout there? That gridlock situation is so untenable. I don't know what to say about that. That was badly planned, projected into, gone into without any consideration, the implications and the rippling effect it would have. That gridlock was so serious. People for hours in between there, because if you're caught in the Jersey barrier, that's it for you.
Well, do you remember what happened there?
Yeah.
It started off badly. Then there was an adjustment to say that the work was going to be done in the night.
In the night.
And then I think it's day before yesterday or night before last, they ran into a problem with equipment.
Right.
And that again put some pressure on us. Now, I haven't had any information to date to suggest that the equipment failure that they faced the night before last, continued.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it created quite a lot of gridlock, not only there, but all through Bridgetown, and other places.
Because
the pressure was being felt.
It would ripple and go there.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, it's unfortunate. I am not here to knock any situation because I understand the desperate things are in right now. But look, I want to say to that gentleman, say that the other companies that we've done, real remarkable work in Barbados, like the said Rayside Air Jocks. He did a lot of work. He's an expert in this network too, Mr. Robinson from Air Jocks. Let me tell you, he can get some work done and then
back
in order.
I don't know anything about the tendering process, I don't know who tendered, who came in where, what were those factors. They influence who gets the contract.
Right.
And this is one road project. I'm sure that there are others. I don't know on what basis you are going to come to the conclusion that people are being left out on the basis of color or on the basis of any other basis.
I don't narrow down myself to that sort of thing. Never had. I don't get. Let me tell you, I don't get into gender discussion. For years, I only call it. Certain things I wouldn't discuss, I don't waste time on. I ain't talking about no gender.
So you accept the point that I'm making? You're accepting the point that I'm making is that we do not know what went into the tendering process.
I understand that part. But I'm only hastening to say that I don't ever get into gender and color and those sort of things.
We're not talking about what you got into. We're talking about what the previous caller had alluded to.
I am not going to, or I ain't spend energy in that. Let me move forward. You see, there were some suggestions made on your program. I think it was me last week. I don't know if you might recall, a lady suggested that person that gets $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 a month should not have these fringe benefits of entertainment allowance, a car, a big tea party, all that should be taken out and flow straight. If you're saying that you're in this thing for the love of country, then you're going to have to give up things like this. It is a hard thing. I know there's going to be a lot of pushback when personal object. What you're doing, you can't put me back and relegate me down to not having these things and things. But if you say you love your country, you're contradicting yourself. If you can say, well, I can give up my entertainer allowance, so I can give up all these fringe benefits and let some of the money. And everything that I say all the time, Mr. Ellis, I'm reiterating and relentlessly so that I want every cent that has been made in this exercise to be thrown into the tin. I don't want not a cent slip through the crack. The vigilance has got to be applied to make sure all this money that you're trying to garner don't slip through the trap. Or if not, you're back to the same thing you're at now trying to remedy. I don't know what you have to say about that.
Well, I don't think there's much more that needs to be said about it. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air.
Hello. Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
Well, truthfully, you know that my mate, I love the truth. No intentions today to call. I was on yesterday, and today would have stretched me out because I'm not, as you're putting it, regular caller. I'm a regular caller, but not three times a week and things like that. But this week is in that area. But what made me call is listening to you after that lady gives such a... To me, she was very... I enjoy her conversations with you. But then you went in the area that I find that you are caught up in now, someone that I got endless respect for, of reading what people are saying. And sometimes the way you go about it is like if you agree with it.
Gosh. Honestly, I am not here to get involved in that kind of conversation.
Why not, Miss Ellis?
As far as I'm concerned,
that's what I'm saying, Miss Ellis. Just a minute.
No. Let me defend my position, please.
You can't defend when I'm finishing.
Please. Let me say this to you. you know my style. My style, as I told you already, is one of bringing different ideas and opinions together. So if you tell me something, there's somebody who's going to write in and give an alternative perspective, I share that. That has nothing to do with whether I agree with it or disagree with it, whether I disagree with you or disagree with you. Do I make that clear to you?
Can I speak now, sir? Miss Ellis?
Yes.
The impression that I'm getting from my number one radio personality of late is that more people is calling in, talking politics, and attacking government. Mr. Ellis, I told you directly, I am merely, that I became a bastard caller because every day before you start calling in, we used to got 10 callers one after one attacking the government. I never hear you complain.
I want to say to you that I got to defend the position once you put the point, because I need to make this point. In doing this program over the years, in the last period that you're talking about, a caller decided to go and spend 45 minutes, a BLP supporter, 45 minutes on Facebook, attacking me because I put my foot down on what I saw as partisan abuse or an attempt to abuse this program in that way. I don't care whether you are B or D.
Mr. Ellis.
You know that full well.
And
I'm not here to get caught up in this kind of detailed discussion along these lines either.
But
not today. You could come back to me another day with that. But today, I think I said what I said, largely from you always butting in when I trying to explain something, and you make the conversation sound too contentious that way. You have spoken. I need the opportunity to say what I have to say. Please give me that opportunity. All right? I put before you today alternative perspectives on how people see the program and the reaction that some people have. I did not tell you that that was my reaction. I told you that I spoke with somebody and this person said they stopped listening to the program because they are hearing too much of a repetition of a particular approach. And I put that before people like you so that you can be sensitive. Because let me tell you, at the end of the day, you want the widest possible audience out there, you know. You ain't coming here to just talk to five or 10 people. So if you are going to be doing something that is going to inhibit the size of your audience, you need to know. You can speak now.
Mr. Ellis, I told you that I am a bastard listener. I believe I listen to every bastard for the last, I would say, 12 straight years. And I'm telling you this, Mr. Ellis, as someone who have endless respect for anyone, manager, moderator, that complain about callers today, I think that they're not truthful. And I can tell you why. We had the CLICO issue every day. We had 11 Democrats moving the Prime Minister discussed every day on the radio, in the press. And we could go all the way down Care Hill. Even when the ministers decide to take back their salary after taking 10% less for 31 months, that was on the air every day. And the moderators and everybody call it an increase in salary. We had that over and over and over and over. Now, in this time, you have the gentleman from St. John, who I haven't heard since the last time that he was on here, the best day that I hear back in the years. I haven't heard him since that time with you, when all of you laugh and think. The impression that I'm getting that you're reading, because you're saying it's not your impression, that people like me is coming on the air and just attacking. I don't attack. I ask question.
Well, if you feel that the cat fits you, that's your business. I didn't call your name. I didn't refer to you.
It could fit me because I'm a Democrat.
But the fact of the matter is this. I do agree that you had a conversation with me telling me where you come into the program. But you know what? The amount of time that you and other people who have supported the Democratic Labour Party were given in that period to defend the Democratic Labour Party was considerable. So much so that we also had, and I share that with people here, we had others say, you give them too much time. All right? So you may say there were fewer Dems calling at a certain point in time, but there was an attempt to give you enough time to respond to anything that was said. Okay?
Well, let me finish off my thing, less than what's going on with this. I would like you to check. Don't listen to me. Because there are persons who's called by a staff that you and some moderators have labeled as them. You don't have to label me as Strickland's energy. Because we already let you all know we are members of their loving people. So you know that. I hear a gentleman just now with you speaking. I don't know who the gentleman is. And to me, you label him. So anybody that calling...
Because I know the voice. I know the voice.
Because the gentleman have a voice that you know. And you
I know the voice and I associate the voice in the same way when Statsman calls, we know he's a B.
But Statsman...
Give me a break.
That gentleman called just now...
But as you listen, you can't tell me you come here every day that you talk to me, you talk about what impression and interpretation you form. You're the only person who could get an impression and an interpretation.
You are giving the impression.
Here you go again.
That the Democrats is hogging the station since the 24th. And Mr. Ellis, that is not true. Stricker Stennis for the number one Democrat caller.
Listen to me. All I am asking you to do. Listen, my friend. All I am saying to you. I made the point in the program already. The program's strength lies in differences of opinion. That includes having Dems make their contribution.
No, it don't look so because.
Well. I am saying what I have said, and I am in no position to pursue this. No, please. Please.
And he can come on and talk for half an hour. Nobody questions Patrick King.
Please. My friend, let other people be the judge of that. You are very involved in it, and so am I. At the end of the day, I've given you an opinion coming from somebody else. Take it. Analyze it, and in the same way that I have to do that, I cannot dismiss anything. I'm not dismissing what you tell me, but I have to weigh everything in trying to determine what is the best way forward. Is there a need for us to do something to encourage and to facilitate more of a balanced view? What is that? In the past, we may well have followed a path that you may not consider to be the best, but we should learn from our experiences, as simple as that. Our ultimate goal here is to make sure that we have the best program of this type in this country and that we continue to do so. And with your help and with the help of so many other people out there, and I will tell you this, there are more listeners than there are callers.
What about the retreat yesterday, Miss Ellis?
I wasn't there, were you?
No, I'm talking about you there. You wasn't there when our... lecture was suspended. You wasn't there with our retreat. How about yesterday retreat? I ain't hearing nothing about it.
Well, I saw something in the newspaper today.
But on VOB too?
Well, I don't know about VOB. I can't hear everything. I mean, I do. Remember in the mornings that I am also trying to do things that go on air. So I can't hear everything.
11 so-called Democrats was going up against Mr. Sanders Short. It was all over VOB.
I will want to say this to you. I have seen the material that has been circulated. I've been trying to get to the bottom of what has been said, but I want you to know this. At the end of the day, whatever the truth is, once it comes out, we are going to share it with you. We do not hide those things.
I ain't getting that feeling, Mr. Ellis. Alice.
Well, you know, you are a man who lives on impressions, interpretations, and feelings, not facts. I'm gone. Have a good day.